Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Stovekraft Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Parth Patel from MUFG Intime. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Patel.
Thank you, and good afternoon. On behalf of MUFG Intime, I welcome you all to Stovekraft Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. Today on the call, we have Mr. Rajendra Gandhi, Managing Director, Mr. Ramakrishna Pindiala, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Hemant Kothari, Vice President, Investor Relations. Before we begin the call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon our belief, opinion, expectations as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of our future performance and involve unforeseeable risks and uncertainties. And with this, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Gandhi. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for attending our Q1 FY26 earnings call. A detailed presentation and a press release of our quarterly performance has been uploaded on our website, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through them. Despite recent disruptions due to tariff developments between the United States and India, the geopolitical situation with neighboring countries, our exports and domestic market have broadly remained stable for us. We are pleased to report a robust performance in Q1 FY26, reflecting our operational leverage and reflects the resilience of manufacturing capabilities which we have strengthened over the last 4 years. Looking ahead, our multi-channel outlook is robust. Quick commerce, which we entered recently, is gaining meaningful traction, while e-commerce, traditional retail outlets, and modern trade continue to deliver steady growth. We believe these dynamics will position us for an accelerated growth trajectory in the quarters ahead. Channel mix in Q1 was 32% from e-commerce, 26% from DT, 12% from modern trade, 3% from corporate/institutional sales, 20% from our OEM exports, and 7% from our own retail. All the major channels reported growth over the year-on-year basis, indicating strong widespread demand and successful brand traction. This robust broad-based growth across channels implies consumer acceptance of our products. Moving towards development, which took place in Q1, we are in continuation from Q4. We have begun manufacturing and selling kitchen chimneys, from our own plant. With chimney penetration in India still in single digits and only a handful of serious domestic players, this market offers a substantial white space opportunity. Our in-house production capability, backed by Stovekraft's distribution and retail strength, uniquely positions us to capture this underserved segment and meet the rising demand for quality ventilation solutions. We expect chimney to become a significant growth driver in the coming quarters. Our cast iron cookware started showing traction in revenue in Q1. Q1, we are able to generate a revenue of $177 million, which is improving quarter on quarter. In export, we are working with a few US and UK based players and on few new product categories, which we will be able to communicate when we are able to reach at some maturity stage. However, export markets also look promising with respect to demand from India manufactured products is concerned. In the current quarter, increased production volumes of our new range of kettles and cast iron cookware, both of which are fully backward integrated and manufactured in-house, have contributed to margin improvement through enhanced operational leverage. We expect this positive trend to continue and further strengthen our performance in the subsequent quarters. We also rolled out our Balancing Gender Roles at Home campaign under the Pigeon Appliances banner, Made for Every Hand at Home. This initiative spotlights how our electric pressure cookers, air fryers, OTG, and vacuum cleaners enable partners to share cooking and cleaning from quick weeknight meals to routine chores effortlessly and fairly. We have received early traction for the campaign on social and in-store platforms, underscoring its resonance, strengthening our brand's emotional connect and commitment to modern, equitable homes. With the upcoming festival season and revival of rural demand due to healthy monsoon this year, we are optimistic about delivering stronger performance in coming quarters. We are witnessing positive momentum in our margins compared to the previous year, accompanied by an improvement in PAT resulting in improvement on ROC, ROE. Now I will discuss the Q1 FY26 financial and operational performance. Revenue for quarter was 340.1 crore, registering a growth of 8.2% YOY and 8.7% QOQ, growing at 7.3% CAGR for the last 4 years. Growth for the quarter is mainly from e-com, retail, modern retail and export channels. Gross margins have improved by 13 basis points compared to the same period last year. Gross margin also registered a growth of 8.5% YOY and 7.9% QOQ, reflecting strength of our manufacturing capability. In last 4 years, our gross margin has significantly improved by 12.9% CAGR. EBITDA has improved by 40 basis points compared to the same period last year and 106 basis points compared to the last quarter. EBITDA stands at 10.5% in quarter 1, FY26, registering a growth of 12.5% YOY and 20.9% QOQ. PAT has improved by 46 basis points compared to the same period last year and 260 basis points compared to the last quarter. PAT stands at 3.1% in quarter 1, FY26, registering a growth of 27.2% YOY and 620.5% QOQ, withstanding our self-sufficiency strategy to overcome supply disruption due to global disruption will help us to improve returns. In the current quarter, we saw strong positive momentum driven by export growth of 14% compared to Q1 FY25. Our exports now reaching 20% of the total revenue for the quarter. In quarter 1 FY26, we have opened 19 new stores in 18 new cities. Currently, we are operating in 19 states and 110 cities, which has helped us drive diversification, ensure sustainable growth, and enhance brand's presence across key markets. We are actively working to reduce this concentration by opening most of the new stores in North and West India. Now, I would request the moderator to open the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shreyansh Jain from Swan Investment. Please proceed.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Hi, good evening, sir, and congratulations for a good set. Sir, I'm just trying to understand with the kind of traction that we've seen in Q1, do we intend to increase our growth guidance, and how is the market looking for you, say, pre-festive for Q2 and Q3, sir?
So generally, as you'll all be aware, that our business... Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. You can hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. As you are aware, the first quarter for us and the last quarter are softer quarters compared to the second and third quarter. The second and third quarter involves a lot of festivals and various season sales. Obviously, these two quarters are the major quarters that contribute to our revenues. And to answer your question, yes, we are seeing improved growth in the beginning of this quarter. So we hope that we will be able to deliver higher growth.
Okay. And sir, second question is when we are moving up the value chain, say from we are moving to cast iron cookware and tri-ply cookware, so what kind of gross margin improvement is there in the product category, say when you move from a PTFE coated cookware to a ceramic or a tri-ply or a cast iron, sir?
Definitely, they are positive to our margins compared to the existing cookware. Definitely the Cast Iron offers a better opportunity because they are fully integrated plant manufacturing. There is an automated line. Definitely we stand to gain on that capability, and the product definitely can command a better price in the market. So with this, definitely that's where it gives us our confidence on improving on our gross margins for the company as a whole. Some of the confidence is also coming from these categories.
Okay, so if we can quantify, say, over the next 2 years, because of this product mix change, what kind of gross margin improvement can we anticipate?
So in the last 4 years, we have moved from going down to 32.5% to we are now at around 38%. We believe that at a steady state, we will be able to get to 40%.
Okay. Okay. And sir, if I look at your presentation, there is one line on slide number 9, depreciation is rationalized due to change in estimates. Can you explain this? What does this mean? And will the current depreciation for this quarter now continue for the whole year? Or can you explain this, please?
Yeah, I'm Ram Krishna. I explained. We have a retail stores channel where we enter into lease arrangements with landlords. So that life of the lease term is re-estimated as per Ind AS 116, and then currently it was 9 years, so we have brought down to 3 years based on the estimate. And the second question is whether this will continue. Yes, this will continue for the throughout the year.
And sir, any reason for this change in estimates from bringing it down to 3 years from 9 years?
Yeah, our tie-up with the landlords is actually, we have a 3-year auto-renewal agreement with the landlords, and based on the guidance of our auditors, because we don't have a lock-in period with our landlords, it's a lock-in for the landlord, but no lock-in for the company. We are free to vacate any store within 3 months' notice. So with that guidance and with the requirement of the Ind AS, we have now re-estimated that. And going forward, as Ramkrishna said, both the interest and depreciation that accounts for the lease accounting of the stores will remain at the level that we are.
Okay. And sir, just wanted to understand, where are retail stores we have opened in the last 3 years? How has the performance been for our channel in a similar market? What is the kind of degrowth that they would have seen, and any cannibalization that we would have seen, because most of these stores operate in a similar market, right? So if we are opening our own retail stores, we will tend to actually cannibalize the GT, and obviously the channel would face some degrowth there, right? So can you give us some sense there?
I don't think it does really impact like that. In fact, the presence of our stores gives an opportunity for us to actually show our customers the entire range of products that we offer. Generally, whether it is the modern trade or the general trade GT channel, none of the stores will be able to display all these products. Wherever we have seen the maturity stage of these stores, we have seen that our business avenue sum of both the general trade and the retail stores has almost doubled. So it's not that it has cannibalized anywhere. Definitely we are seeing not high growth in general trade. This is an industry phenomenon, because also we are present in all the channels. We have eventually been everywhere from the GT. Initially before the advent of all these channels, there is only one channel called the GT for us. So to answer your question, it is not cannibalizing, it is helping us, but definitely there is not high growth in the GT channel.
Okay. So one question on exports. So now from 7th August, this 25% tariff gets implemented for exports to the US, right? So what's our understanding with our customers now? Who bears that additional tariff, and what is the understanding with our clients, sir?
All our exports are on FOB basis, including freight or tariff is borne by our customers. But I want to tell you, one of our largest customers, they are very committed to build their imports from India from a current base to 3 times of the current number. So that commitment continues. That's what we have had discussions with them post this news on the tariff. They are committed to build the business from India, and definitely, of course, that continues the same for Stovecraft. So this is from one of our largest customers. But to answer your question, all tariffs or any custom duties are paid by the customer and not by us. We are not a brand. These are OEM goods. We manufactured it. These are white label for us. It is based on the price that is agreed upon, and all our exports are FOB.
Okay, okay, all right. So the kind of guidance that we've given on exports in the previous two quarters is maintained, right? We believe exports can grow at 20-25%.
No, we believe our exports will grow higher of that percentage. Last year we were approximately around 160 crores. We, for the whole year, we believe we'll be still able to grow at 50%.
Okay, that's great. So just last question, one bookkeeping. Okay, I'll get back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun from Equitree Capital. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. A couple of questions from my side. Sir, could you give us a, like, there hasn't been any volume growth in some of your products, especially the small appliance, which has been one of the fastest growing category. So where is the company lacking? Is it because of the competition or any other reason? And how do you see the overall volume growth for the full year? And in addition to that, also Reliance is also getting into the small appliance by acquiring Telvinator. So how do you see that as a competitive environment?
So some of the low-value products that we classify as appliances versus what we are able to grow in our large-value appliances is what is giving you that number degrowth in volume. But in actual terms, in value, we are continuing to grow highest on our appliances category.
And that is because of any price hike or just addition of new products?
Some new products also, products. Not majority from hike. It is a product category which is high ASP, which is growing faster. And there are one of the category where we classify as appliances chopper, which is a low-value product in the range of 100-150 rupees. There we are seeing a little degrowth over the more, what you call, electric choppers and such things. So that's why that number looks a little skewed on the volume. Otherwise, value growth continues to be there. And we are seeing good growth on our appliances.
And what kind of volume growth do you envisage for the full year?
So if you go by the categories that we are growing, we, in our opinion, we are in the range of 12-13% growth on the volume. So this does not give you the right picture for one or two items that are of low value, and our focus is to build higher ASP products. That is why, because the way we account it by number of units, and that's where I think it is giving you a little skewed picture.
And for the full year, you maintain your EBITDA margin guidance of 11%, or this can
further? Yeah, in the appliances, we believe we'll be able to grow between that 11-12%.
No, on the margin front, EBITDA margins, full year guidance.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we'll improve by 1% at least over the last year for the whole year.
Okay. And can you repeat the breakup of the revenue channel wise? I missed on that. Hello.
Yeah, yeah, just let's just be. I think it was part of fine revenue growth.
Thank you.
GT is 26%, e-com 32%, modern retail is 12%. Corporate sales is 3%, retail is 7%, and OEM exports is 20%.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Natik from NV Alpha. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So my first question is, you know, when I look at our numbers for the last 2 years, you know, we have seen growth rate of only 6%, and we have seen similar or lesser growth of the competition also. So I just wanted to understand what exactly has been playing out in the last 2 years. I mean, is this because of increasing competition? Is the demand slowed down, or what exactly is, you know, sort of going on in the past 2 years? What has gone wrong in the past 2 years?
In the case of Stovekraft, it could be multiple things. Of course, it's also including some challenges that we had with other brands. See, we were importing the complete range of Black & Decker products. We were also in the LED lighting business. These two taken a little, we have offset the revenues growth from there. LED continues to, on the ASP value is continuing to go down. So even our volumes growth, our revenues are not growing. So we have capped the growth on our LED business. On Black & Decker, we are importing 100% of this. There has been a disruption in the overall completely built units import. BIS has brought that restriction, but it has given advantage to the overall company strategy of building manufacturing within our facilities. Having said that, there was a high growth during the COVID times, and I think the base, I mean, we are comparing it with a larger base, and I think that period of correcting is over. You will probably start seeing higher growth going forward. The last 2 years have taken care of all, I mean, setting the base right, I can say. Going forward, you'll see similar growths that we were experienced in the past. Particularly during COVID, in the business that we are, the cooking took center stage, and there was very high growth. So I can say that now you will see, if you rationalize the growth for the last 5 years, we'll get back to that 12-15% growth.
Right, 12-13% growth. Got it, sir. So my second question is, you know, GT as a channel, we have seen it decline consistently, and, you know, now we are standing at 26%, which used to be 30% plus, you know, a couple of years ago. So just wanted to understand, where does this, you know, GT as a channel settle, and, you know, or do we expect it to continuously decline more?
No, as a channel, we will continue to be at the same level or improve a little, but our growth in the other channels are relatively very high. Example, we are seeing very high growth in the three major channels for us: e-commerce, our own retail, and exports. The growth is far higher than the company's growth rate. So obviously, because of the contribution from these three channels being very high, you are seeing the contribution from, because it is muted there in GT, you see that it is very low. Otherwise, it is actually that the other channels are growing very fast. We believe, of course, this will continue to be, in the near term, grow faster than the company's growth rate. All these three channels, our own retail is growing upwards of 50%. We believe export also will grow at the rate for the near term, and then e-commerce is growing at a much faster rate than the other channels.
Right. So my next question is on exports. You know, now, do we expect exports to keep on growing, you know, even on a quarter-on-quarter basis? Because last 2 years, what we have seen is 1Q and 2Q usually do better, and then, you know, the exports sort of do not hold up to the 1Q numbers. So is there any seasonality in that, or, and do we expect 2Q, 3Q?
Now, with our addition of new products and new customers, I think going forward, that's what is getting corrected. Apart from the first two quarters, even the third and fourth quarter, this year you will see that export will more or less be at the same level quarter on quarter.
Right. So the last question is, you know, if you could give the number, you know, of pre-index EBITDA that we did during the quarter.
Can you please repeat?
Pre-index EBITDA for the quarter.
Pre-index EBITDA. Not getting. Can you repeat once again, please?
Yes, so pre-Ind AS EBITDA number. So EBITDA post
pre-Ind
AS or EBITDA
number. The Ind AS effect is about 1 crore. So
additional impact of the Ind AS effect is 1 crore.
But that is also will not have any effect in EBITDA. That is below EBITDA.
Yeah, that is below EBITDA, not.
What is the rental cost, if I can rephrase the question? Rental cost for the quarter. The actual rent.
Okay, we'll give you this number exactly. We'll, before this call, we'll give you the number, rental cost.
Sure. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand from Solvent. Please proceed.
Sir, good evening. Congratulations on good results. Sir, the growth guidance for export is 40%-50%, if I understand it correctly. We have grown by 20% in the first quarter. Which quarter you think the growth will catch up? Second quarter or later?
Anand, good evening. Actually, that is what I was trying to explain. This generally our first and second quarter will be larger and then the followed by third quarter being little softer. You will continue to see similar kind of numbers for all the four quarters. To give you a guidance on our export, the last quarter will give you the run rate for the future quarters. Currently we are at about 60 crores per quarter. It is because a mix of additional products and new customers both put together. This over the year you will see a continuous contribution coming from export every quarter.
Okay. Just to clarify, last year we did 160 crore, sir?
Yeah, around that 160 crore, sir. You're right.
Okay. First quarter we have done 60 crore.
You are right, sir.
Now we will do 60 crore per quarter is the run rate which we are doing.
Yeah, in the range of 60 crores. In the range of 60 crores every quarter.
Okay. The first quarter export growth is 20%?
Yeah, the first quarter export growth is around 20%, yes.
Okay.
We had a good base for the same quarter last year.
Okay, understood. Base would be lower in either second, third or fourth quarter as the case may be.
Relatively, yes.
Okay. Sir, second question was your IKEA order was supposed to crystallize from December of this year to October. Logically.
Yeah, we are in.
The fourth quarter export numbers should be higher.
We are in line with that, sir. Yeah, the plant is getting ready, up and ready. All those process and procedures that IKEA would want to do, we are in line with the plan that we set out with. With that, we should be able to start dispatching goods from December. Yes.
In that case, sir, the 60 crore number can be higher for the fourth quarter or it will be 60 crore?
Sir, I can say that this year we'll grow by 50% and then we are in that range. We are very confident. Of course, all the growth is also coming because of addition of new customers and new products. That of course includes IKEA. It's a beginning of that business with them. IKEA once established then grows at a very fiery pace. It is not with the normal.
Okay. Sir, the benefit of IKEA will come largely in FY 2027.
Yeah, more or less 2027, 2028 is where you'll see a very big jump from. Because we have set up a large facility. It is in anticipation and understanding of a large business.
Sir, 2026, 2027?
We are now in FY 2026 already.
FY 2027 you are saying.
The beginning will be the next year, FY 2027, and 2028 is where you'll see the full-blown business of IKEA.
Okay. Sir, one last question, one question related to IKEA, sir. What can be the estimated number for FY 2027?
Anand, I'll tell you that there is a very good opportunity with IKEA. This is a global retail network, and it is not impacted by any one country's geopolitical situation, and that is the advantage. How IKEA works is they take a lot of time in establishing the relationship process, compliances and quality requirements. Once they are set, then the relationship lasts for very long. For them it is in their interest that they build the business with their this relationship that build, because they also invest a lot of time and effort and money to build this relationship to make the business multifold of what they begin with. I can give you that much of guidance. The opportunity is huge. We let us travel that period to get there.
Sure, sir. Sir, another question is our export, our CapEx guidance is not big for this year and.
We have almost completed all the CapEx requirement. All the concluding CapEx is happening, but it's not very large. With this, we have completed all the planned CapEx for the last four years. There could be maintenance CapEx going forward, but otherwise we don't have any new CapEx plans at the moment. There are concluding things that are happening now.
Okay. Sir, the cash flow generation for this financial year would be upwards of 120 crore-130 crore. So do you think we'll be able to become debt-free by the end of this year, sir?
If not debt-free, all this cash flow will be plowed back to our working capital, and obviously that will bring our debt levels to that much less.
Yes.
It will be very close to that. It may not be absolutely debt-free. It could also be if we are able to do better than what we anticipate to do. At the moment, business seems to be very robust and is promising for higher growth.
Okay. And what is the net debt, sir, currently on the balance sheet, sir, as on June?
Ramakrishna, can you give that number, exact number?
Yeah.
Net debt is
receivable.
No, no, this will have interest impact. Give us a moment, Anandji, I'll give you that number in a minute.
Sir, one last question. As you guided that long term, in next 1 or 2 years, you would be aspiring for 40% gross margin. Is that assessment correct, sir?
You are right, sir. In the next 2 years, that's where we want to get there. We are definitely going to inch over the last year's 38% in this year. We believe we'll be able to improve it by at least 1%. The net debt is around 220 crores, sir.
Okay. It was 140 crore, no, sir, in the month of March quarter.
No, it's not.
It was 195, it has gone up to 226.
Maybe the first quarter,
so 20.
You will see an improvement in the...
So 195, 25 crores has gone up. That could also be because we don't borrow for any of our capex.
Understood. The maintenance capex has already been...
Sorry to interrupt,
not only maintenance capex, we are at the concluding end of our capex. There will be several payments that will be not necessarily after the installation and such things. So you will now continuously start seeing an improvement in our debt, that is reducing in our net debt.
Okay. But sir, one last question with your permission, sir. So since 40% gross margin you are saying, so we may see upwards of 12% EBITDA from next year, sir?
Sir, we are in full control of our costs. Definitely the operational leverage sets in now. So any improvement on our gross margins will have a better positive impact on our EBITDA. Definitely an improvement 1% on our gross margins will improve our EBITDA by a little more than 1%.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashwin Agarwal from Demeter Advisors LLP. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Rajendra Bhai. Congratulations. Very good numbers. Just digging a little bit deeper on exports, what I'm hearing from some of the other, people in the exports business, they are also saying that where our goods are on an FOB basis, we are not seeing any impact because of either the shipping rates or because of duties. But clients are coming back and saying, please give us some discount and we will compensate you with higher volumes. Are those conversations happening at your end, or your construct is completely cost plus and there is no negotiation taking place?
Honestly, of course, it will not be very palatable to you. Our exports are very competitive, and it is not that. And with the over the years, we have bettered the way of manufacturing, which has given us the cost advantages, and which we have passed on to the customers. Even if there is some price impact because of duty, it is not that we have room for reducing our cost. Not that the customer, the customer is at liberty to buy from anywhere. He will have no reason to pay you more. But it is not that the products that we are currently already having an arrangement for supply, they are at a very huge advantage to the customer. This is what we believe, and this is what the fact remains. So even if no customer will not want to have a discount, but we don't have such conversations, we don't entertain such conversations.
Okay. And sir, the big increase that we are seeing in the value versus volume in non-stick cookware on page 7, that's entirely because of your new plant for cast iron, or is there something else?
Yeah, primarily it is all because of the cast iron, and we are moving to ceramic. There are two, particularly the cast iron has a huge, both on margin is a positive, and by ASP is, much more than the basic non-stick cookware. So obviously, because that you will see a little drop in numbers, but by value there will be growth. and we are also getting into the tri-ply cookware apart from the ceramic cookware. All these three are relatively highest ASP products compared to the basic non-stick cookware.
And sir, you know, in our conversations earlier, you had mentioned that last couple of years were very difficult for domestic retail for a variety of reasons, including, you know, lower support, cash support from government in various schemes and so on and so forth. And if I look at your 12 to 13% revenue growth, and if I back out the export growth from there, then the domestic growth, even this year, you're forecasting it to be somewhere in the region of 4 to 5%. So the domestic demand in your estimate continues to be sluggish. Is that fair?
No, I think the domestic business should grow at, in the range of 10%, and our export growth could be higher than that. So in overall, we'll grow higher than this double digit. But the domestic growth, we believe, can grow at the current level that it is. There is no dearth of demand. We are seeing good demand in the market, in all our channels. I again explained to you on the GT. GT is not growing at the pace that the other businesses are growing, but there are other channels which are growing very fast. There are some new channels which are growing at a very fiery pace. The quick commerce channel, which used to be almost very, very small, is growing at a very high pace. So with all that, we believe the domestic business can grow higher of 10%, and the export business will grow at currently with the base that we have, it can grow at up to 50%.
So then the overall revenue growth would be in high teens, about 15 to 18%, somewhere there.
That's our belief, that we should be able to be in that between the 10 to 15% as a company.
Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Desham Mehta from Green Edge Wealth. Please proceed.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you. The first question is on the manufacturing side. So can you talk about our current capacity utilizations? And, you know, since we've done a lot of CAPEX here and almost 95% is now manufactured in-house. So, but at the same time, have we managed to reduce our raw material imports from China? I believe that number used to be around 40-45%. So if you could just update on that.
Yeah, there are a lot of components that we still source from China. But all the products are manufactured, I can say upwards of 95% of the revenue that we today generate from this company is all manufactured within the facilities of the company. But our reliance on many of those components, particularly electronics, and there are several components that China specializes in, we continue to import them. And whenever there is a possibility to indigenize, we are doing that. But still there is a large number of products that we import. This should be upwards of 30%. 30% of our import is still import.
Okay, so that number has reduced from 40-45% to 30% in the last two odd years, right?
Yeah, in that range, yes.
And
example, I will tell you, we were importing 100% of our glass lids. We make them ourselves. This is some of them. So PCBs in the part, we were importing the PCBs. We now import only the components of these electronic parts. So there are several such initiatives that helped us to bring down our by value terms, but there are still several components that we import.
Right. And what would be our capacity utilization?
So the current facilities that we install can take us to a revenue of at least 1.5 to 1.6 of the current number.
Okay. And why did we get into personal care category, like fans and, you know, hair dryers? And are these all outsourced? What is the kind of capital investment that we have done here, if any?
Any category we want to try, initially we only trade in them. Most of the products under the personal care category are in the phase one, that is in the trading, it is in the phase of trading. We have seen high volumes in some of the SKUs, which have gone to manufacturing. When I say manufacturing, it is more of import and assembly. Definitely as this builds, we are seeing very good demand from the channels that we have intended to get in. We are only selling it these products through e-commerce, our own retail, and the quick commerce is also getting into this. Apart from this, we are now getting into modern trade. with all these four channels, we see, some of the better products have already got into that volume where we can manufacture them. And in the future, we will be completely manufacturing them, that is backward integrate each of the component. So, but majority of the revenue now that we have started, this is a very new category. We are still in phase one. Majority of the revenue is coming from trading.
But what do you think is our right to win here?
So, these three strengths of the company, it is a capability to manufacture them. There is definitely going to be a difference in this. Currently, these products are all imported and sold. Very soon, there will be a lot of difference with the introduction of BIS in this category. So, these three capabilities of the company, capability to produce these products, capability to have the distribution channel, and the brand that is backing this. All these three capabilities, we believe, will give us. We are seeing that. We are seeing that at the very beginning of our journey in this category, we are seeing very good acceptance from the market.
And what was the capex done for IKEA? And what is the revenue potential or the?
The capex is in different forms. Is in the toolings exclusively for them. Machines not necessarily exclusive, but then these are general purpose machines for them. Then it is about the land, building, the power. So the capex is in different forms. Many of them is already, the facilities are already there in the company. We have a large warehouse and all such things. But exclusively for IKEA, we would have invested about close to 30 crores.
And what kind of revenue potential or let's say order book for the first 12 months?
First 12 months may not be very large. In the next 2-3 years, we see this getting to between 200 and 300 crores.
Okay. And what is the capex guidance for the current financial year, FY25-26?
It would be 50 crores, around approximately 50 crores.
And lastly, while you've touched upon it, in some shape and form, that there's a huge gap between value and volume growth. You did touch upon it, I think, for small appliances and nonstick cookware. But if you could also comment on induction cooktops, there is almost an 8 percentage point, gap between value and volume growth. So is that just due to the product mix or have we taken any pricing actions too there?
So across the category, we have... Definitely, you see, the margin improvement can come only by either the increased revenue, increased price realization, or cost reduction. So definitely, because of the nature, the way we are backward integrated, highly manufactured, we are already there. So the incremental gross margins can only come by increase in sale value realization. So obviously in all of these categories, with our best ability in all the channels, we are trying to improve our realization. So obviously that will lead to higher value growth than volume growth.
So it's basically premiumization of products in all these categories like small appliances, nonstick cookware and induction cooktops, which has led to value growth kind of outpacing the volume growth. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Absolutely. Your understanding is right.
But then how about gas cooktops? So that has, degrown both in terms of volumes and value. So what would be the reason for that?
No, this is one quarter. See, we have a large channel. The LPG gas stove, we sell a large number in our e-commerce channels. And the larger revenues for e-commerce channels happen between these 2-3 quarters, second and third quarter. And that's why you have seen in the first quarter a little lower number on that. The buying has started now. So actually on the gas cooktop, you will see a considerable growth suddenly in the second and third quarter, both in value and volume.
But no, my comparison is YOY.
You're right, because the season for last year, for the buying season, has moved by 1 month this year.
Because of the early festive.
Yes, early. This year it's a little early.
And cookers, again, there, volume growth has outpaced value growth, unlike the other categories. So here, aren't we seeing any kind of premiumization trend kind of playing out?
No, actually it is. Pressure cookers is also moving from aluminium to stainless steel pressure cookers. We are aggressively priced in the premium end. And we are also witnessing that our growth from the higher value pressure cookers is growing faster than our basic products like the aluminium pressure cooker.
So then ideally the value growth should have outpaced the volume growth, right?
I don't say that the existing aluminium pressure cookers are not growing. They are growing, but the growth of our stainless steel pressure cookers is little higher than the aluminium pressure cookers.
Okay, and just the last one, if I can.
Sorry to interrupt, ma'am. May we request you to join the queue, as there are other participants.
The last one, it's a data question, if that's okay.
Yes, ma'am. Please continue.
Yeah, thank you. So, we had some IT notices in the past. So, what is the aggregate tax demand and, have we recognized it in our books?
I think we have disclosed this. There is no material impact from the IT on the company. And whatever was to be the anomalies that our accounting anomalies were there, we already paid that and adjusted for the years that we were assessed already.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Soumil Shah from Paras Investment. Please proceed.
Yes,
yes, sir. Good afternoon. So if we see last 3-4 years, our EBITDA have increased from 96 crores in FY22 to 151 crore in FY25. But the same is not seen in bottom line. In fact, our bottom line has degrown. I mean, it's mainly due to increase in interest cost and depreciation. So wanted to know, even though as per our guidance, our EBITDA margins, what we are guiding for this year is 11%, how much of that will be reflected in bottom line?
So our belief is now going forward that the operational leverage is set in, and your improvement in EBITDA will only improve the PAT percentage higher than the improvement in the percentage of EBITDA.
So can you expect PAT in excess of 50 crores this year?
Kindly watch us for 1 or 2 quarters. I am sure you will get a better number.
Okay, okay. And so this year we are guiding for 12 to 15% revenue growth. And with the new IKEA setup which we are coming up, what can we expect in FY27 in terms of revenue?
So we believe that we are back to that upwards of 15% growth. And that 2 periods after COVID that has normalized and some rationalization in the business, various businesses. So with all that, we believe that the company is well set for a 15% annualized growth rate.
Okay. And so you mentioned to the previous participant that IKEA business will start from the 3rd quarter of this year?
4th quarter. It will start, business will start billing. It does not give meaningful revenue, but we'll start seeing revenue from the last quarter of our financial year. And the business will be normal for the coming year, and you'll see higher contribution coming from FY28 onwards. So FY27, we'll have meaningful business from IKEA, but the real business will be from 28. It takes time for all this, the business to settle down. But you will start seeing some business from the 4th quarter.
Okay. And my final question, sir, this quarter our depreciation has come down. From March quarter it was 21 crore, now it is around 17 crore. So can we expect this similar numbers throughout the year?
Yeah, both on interest and depreciation combined, we will be at the similar run rate, sir.
Okay, so there will not be material impact for new IKEA CapEx?
That is already done, sir. Those are all already done.
Okay, okay. So that should meaningfully add to the bottom line, right? Interest and appreciation.
Yeah, that's what I meant by that improvement in EBITDA. You see percentage contribution to our PAT will be higher than the current percentage.
Okay, okay, fine, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rachna from Simp. Please proceed.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I just wanted to know what has been the contribution from new product launches to overall revenue, and if you could quantify for this quarter and last year, and how has the offtake been as the pace of innovation in kitchen appliances industry is fast and competitive. So if you could comment on your new product launches and how they have performed over these years. My second question would be...
We don't have a number to give right away, but a majority of our developments have happened in the appliances, and you've been seeing continuously in the last 4-6 quarters a higher growth rate coming from our appliances. In the cookware category, of course, the cast iron is what I mentioned about 177 million coming is a completely new category for us. Apart from this, we are building the ceramic cookware and the triply cookware. But otherwise, majority of the small appliances are new, and the higher growth rate reflects on the contribution coming from new products. I do not have offhand a number to give you on the contribution only from our new introductions, but we can share it with you.
Okay. And second question would be, what is the criteria used to determine on these new product launches for online versus offline channels? And are there any specific product categories or SKUs which perform online better? And if yes, do they incrementally contribute to margins or profit margins from new products? And these margins from new products, do they stay same across channels, both offline or online, or is there some difference in profit margins?
Yeah, apart from our exports, all our margins, we are agnostic on margins, whether it is channel or product. Of course, we go through three phases of new product introduction. We initially trade, then manufacture, and then completely backward integrate. So at this stage, the margins remain the same. That is when we get into manufacturing. But they are a little lower in these first two stages. That is when we trade or we are only manufacturing. On choosing on which channel, generally all the categories of products, we would want to ideally be in every channel. But of course, there has been an exception. In the case of personal care products, generally the market itself for personal care products, 70% comes from online business for across the category. So we chose to do it only through the online channels, and there was some interest shown by our modern trade accounts. And so we also introduced this through our modern trade. And because all our retail stores will sell and display the entire range, is also available through our retail stores. We are not very sure whether we will get into the general trade in the personal care products. But otherwise, for us, any category that we generally get into is designed to get into all the channels.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhat from Dolat Capital. Please proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity. I had one question regarding the non-stick cookware, which is 24% of the total revenue in quarter one. So how much of that is basic non-stick cookware, and how much, what's the percentage of ceramic, cast iron and triply in that?
Yeah, I think again we will have to break that and give you. I can tell you 177 million is what... was purely from our cast iron cooker in the first quarter. Some revenue of, no, we'll have to break it up. We don't have an exact number. Of course, the number from cast iron and the ceramic is much larger now. So, allow us some time, we will give you this number.
Okay, sir. And my second question is regarding the store addition. So we added 19 stores in this quarter. So so our guidance for addition of 9,200 stores in this year remains intact?
Yeah, we are in the same run rate. This was 19. So if you go by this run rate, we may end up at 80. But it need not necessarily be there. So we believe that we will be in the range.
Okay, thank you. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from NV Alpha Fund. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thanks for allowing the follow-up. So my question is, you know, if you could give the rent cost for this quarter,
yeah,
and what is it expected to be this year and next
for
year?
The quarter?
quarter?
7 crores is the total rent for the quarter.
Approximately about.
Right. And so what do we expect it to be for the full year, this year and next year? Do we expect it to increase?
On 2020.
Yeah,
between that 28-29 crores.
Sorry, I did not get the number.
Between the 28 and 29 crores.
28 and 29 crores. Okay, got it. And sir, if you could give the split of number of COCO and COFO stores out of the total stores that we currently have.
Yeah, I can give you. In all, we are now having 281 stores. FOFO, we are 22 stores, 45 are FOFO stores, 38 are ready for handover to, so the existing FOFO are moving to FOFO, and we have 176 FOFO stores.
So 176 are COCO, 22 38
COCO. Are in the stages of handover, 45 are COFO, and 22 are COFO.
Got it, sir. So, and just one clarification, the rent cost, you know, how much of it is attributable to the facility that we have, how much to the retail stores?
Rent cost, how much is
it? It is yours. Majority of the
is
so, we have, other than our corporate office, everything is owned by us. So, this is one, all this rent is towards the retail stores.
Retail stores. Okay, got it, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajendra Gandhi, Managing Director, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you all of you for your patience and for listening. I hope I have addressed or we have addressed all your questions. But if you have any further inquiries, please feel free to reach out to us directly or contact our investor relationship partner, MUFG Intime India Private Limited. And there are some questions that we are committed to get back to you. We'll directly get back to them. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Servcraft Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.